Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Jody Mullen. Welcome to Freakishly Well-Behaved Kids. This series of podcasts is dedicated to helping parents and other people who are connected with children help children behave their best and be their best overall. I'm in a unique position to share this with you because I have been a child counselor and play therapist for nearly 20 years. I'm also a mom, and I've learned many of my lessons about parenting from my child clients and my own children. They informed my parenting as well as parent coaching that I do as part of my clinical practice. I recognize in working with thousands of children and their parents that there are simple principles for parenting. And although they may be simple in, like, thinking about them, they're sometimes difficult to really follow through with. And we focus a lot on that in this podcast. I'll cover more than 20 principles for blissful parenting so you, too, can have freakishly well-behaved kids. These principles are simple and life-altering. They will change and enhance your relationships that you have with children. They'll change how your children behave and how you feel about yourself around children. They'll also improve your overall parenting esteem. In this podcast, I will talk about a specific principle or lesson and how you can apply it. There will be special guests that will further our conversations about parenting and children. You'll want to stay tuned for my upcoming book, Blissful Parenting, and check out my website at www.jodiannmullen, and follow me on Twitter at Dr. Jody Mullen. Okay, so for today's show, I am joined by my friend, mental health counselor and play therapist and mom of two, Jessica Connors, and we're going to be talking about traveling with kids. Welcome, Jessica.
Hi, Jody.
So I asked Jessica to... I'm so glad you're here. I asked Jessica to have this conversation with me because Jessica has two very young children, and my kids are 9 and 13. And so although I've already been through those young years traveling with them, I think I put a lot of it sort of like people talk about labor. You don't really remember that. I put a lot of that behind me. So with that in mind, I'd like to talk about some of the challenges that we've had in what to expect for kids, what to expect when traveling with kids, and how to do a better job at it. So we've learned a lot along the way, and even though Jess's kids are younger, that you've learned a lot already about traveling with kids and how to make it easier both on you as a parent, but also easier on kids. And I think that is one thing that we do have to keep in mind, is that it can be tough on kids. Travel, although exciting, it can also be tough. So I'm going to start with what I think is the most important aspect, and that is I really think that's the most important part of traveling with kids is preparing your kids for what to expect. Although things might not go as expected, just like when you take them to church or on their first day of school or other events that they've never encountered before, you want to prepare them for what to expect. So, Jess, how do you do that with little ones?
Well, so far with Danielle, my 3-year-old, we've traveled just a couple of times. And one thing that we really like to do is have her get involved in the packing. And I think that helps her to kind of plan and like conceptualize what it means to be away from home. So we're going to need all these things that we're just used to having like in our environment. And I think that that has helped her. And also talking, a lot about it or showing her pictures or talking about things we're going to do, trying to get her excited.
Okay. So those are some, like, I just want to flesh that out again because you just gave, like, three really good tips. So one is just really is having kids be part of the preparing. Even if they're as young as 2 or 3, they can really help by packing. What's one thing that they really want to bring with them? What's their favorite, shirt? Mm-hmm. What's their stuff? What do they want to bring with them? And I think, like, one of the ways that we do that, too, even now, is we create lists for our kids of, like, these are the things that you're going to need. You need, 4 pair of socks and 6 six different T-shirts or whatever, and then let them make those decisions and pass themselves. So they have some level of control and input into, you know, what's happening. So you have that component. The other part that you said was just really talking to your child. So whatever level that they're at, talking to them about what's going to be coming up and, you know, and happening and how you're going to be part of it. And the things that you, like the suggestions that you offer, Jess, really are, they're suitable regardless of your child's age.
Mm-hmm.
They're also... I mean, I think that's the really nice part because, like, we're going on a trip later this year, and my kids were part of the planning of it. Like, what, you know, we looked up which resort, you know, or hotel do you want
mm-hmm.
to stay at. So I think, you know, as they get older, it's going to, of course, or it has opportunity to become more complex. But it's just that part. Is engaging your kids in preparing and talking to them and having them participate in the preparing, even if that's just packing, really
mm-hmm.
gets them invested, you know, really just invested in what you're doing. So so that's a great way for the what to, you know, preparing them for what to expect. I think the on the other hand is preparing them that sometimes it doesn't go as expected. And so,
I just wrote a note about that to make sure I brought that up.
Oh, yeah.
That, yeah, certainly. Mm-hmm.
What was an example that you had of that?
About over-planning and, like, trying to be too regimented on vacation. And certainly that, you know, that's a, I guess, you know, some people, you know, kind of thrive on that and need that. And I think, you know, having like a loose plan and schedule for your vacation certainly helps you kind of like maximize your time and focus. But also some of the best vacation memories I have both as like a single person and as a parent are just embracing those spontaneous and out of the blue like moments that you might not be paying attention to if you're too busy worrying about where you're going to go next and what's
yeah.
you know, the next thing on the agenda kind of thing. So you know, even if it just is something like I remember going to Old Forge with the kids over the summer and this past summer, and it just started raining at the beach, and the kids loved it, you know, and it's whereas if we had looked at it as something that was going to ruin our vacation, I mean, they thought it was like, it was one of their favorite things. They thought it was so silly and great. So if we had, you know, been in the mind frame that was going to like screw everything up or ruin everything, then it would have, so.
Right. Well, I think, you know, this might be the most important part of this is that
mm-hmm.
It really does have to do with mindset. So it has to, you know, it's great to have, and I've talked about this in some of the other podcasts, stability is so important. And
mm-hmm.
when you travel, whether you're traveling to, you know, your cousins for the weekend or grandma's for an overnight, or you're going on like a, you know, a resort kind of trip,
mm-hmm.
that it's nice to be able to weave in some stability. So you absolutely want to do that. But you also have to have space for flexibility because it isn't home. And
mm-hmm.
And you are less in control of what's going to happen. You're not in control of the weather, for sure. You're not in control
yeah.
of how long things are or if they don't have, you know, low-fat milk or, you know, what. There's
mm-hmm.
so many of these things that you can't control for. And what can, you know, and being able to sort of go with the flow becomes, you know, really a key thing. I think, you know, connected to that, this is maybe more about us as parents than the kids in some ways, because I think that travel can be stressful for a number of reasons. It takes us out of our comfort zone, and it also, you know, the other piece of it is that there is that unpredictability that, you know, comes along with that. Not to
mm-hmm.
mention if, like, you know, if you're, let's say, traveling by air, you know, and you're not a big fan of flying, you know, that's with you all anyway, or traveling by car and you know you're going to hit traffic, you know. I think
mm-hmm.
that these things make us feel more stressful, and unfortunately, we pass those on to our kids. So I guess I'm just thinking kind of out loud here, and maybe you have some ideas too, of how, like, we as parents can deal with, like, what stresses us out is connected to traveling in order to not pass that on to, you know, to our kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly that's where some of the planning comes in, even, you know, with the little ones. And now my son is over a year, but that first trip that we took to my sister's house, that's about 4.5 hours, we timed it completely wrong. And it was around bedtime for both of them, and they both just couldn't fall asleep in the car. And it was a rough trip, to say the least. So we definitely learned our lesson on that one. But it seems now that we've learned our, you know, kind of figured out what worked then, now it's changed. So, you know, there's that twist that they throw in there as kids, because they're always changing what they need. So,
right.
But
right.
Planning ahead definitely helps. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think planning too, and being realistic. Like, I honestly, I can't remember, maybe it was a year or two ago that I've been at Disney World with my kids, and my kids were being freakishly well behaved. I mean, it was like 98 degrees, you know, the lines are of course always long, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we were all, you know, dripping with sweat. It was kind of uncomfortable, but we figured out, like, ways to stay in the shade, which, you know, that was really a challenge, finding, like, shade for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that, keeping cool and still enjoying ourselves, because this is a unique opportunity. It's not like we go to Disney World every year. But one of the things that my kids noticed was parents that were yelling at their kids that they have to have fun. So we just got such a kick out of it, because, you know, there were parents saying, like, this is Disney World. This is our vacation. You are going to have fun. You are going to get on that ride and enjoy yourself.
Oh,
and I thought,
no.
Oh, no. So, and that's where I think some of the flexibility comes in, because there's so much excitement about traveling, and because it's, you know, so different than what kids are used to, is that sometimes we try to pack too much into it, and we stop. You know, I think we stop as parents reading our children well. So where you know, if you were home, you might realize, you know, this is too much, they're too hot, let's go back to, you know, the hotel and take a nap. You push, because, and I think part of it for, I at least can say for myself, but so I'm guessing maybe some other parents too, is, like, I paid a lot for this. I want to maximize, you know, that money. And that was definitely another observation, you know, and that I've had, not just of other parents when traveling, but myself included, is that the amount that things cost sometimes are more, or the cost of the vacation or even the road trip itself is costly, that you start putting that on your kids. So you'll, you know, it's 98 degrees, your kids haven't had a water in 2 hours. You go, that water is $6. That's a $6 water. Well, it's Disney World, you know, kind of what you, that goes back to that expectation part that we were talking about. Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's preparing the kids, but there's also you being prepared to spend more money than you think that you're going to spend, that things are going to come up that you know, that you can't control, and that, you know, if travel's already stressful because of the travel itself, that, you know, what are some things you can do for yourself? Like, could you do meditation? You know, could you be listening to music? What could you do that would help you feel better?
Yes, absolutely. I find bringing a pair of sneakers and a sports bra indispensable on a vacation, so that I can just get away for a few minutes. And my husband, you know, same thing. And go for a quick run or a walk, or that really, you know, I find, just even if it's just a short amount of time on my own, that really helps, you know, me to refocus and de-stress.
Well, I'm so glad you said that, because I didn't, you know, put this down in terms of my notes of things that I want to talk about, but now that you said that, I realized that we kind of have a routine, actually, when we're away from home, which is my husband and kids are, like, breakfast people, and they love their big breakfast, and I don't, and it doesn't really fit into, like, my style of eating anyway. And so So what happens is, and this is awesome because I really value and love my alone time and don't do so well when I don't get it.
Yeah, breaks are key.
Yeah. And so when there's four of us in one hotel room, you know, or
that's a lot of togetherness.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all sharing their basement, you know, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. So what happens is that they go and have breakfast, whether they're having breakfast, you know, with grandma, or they're having breakfast, you know, at a restaurant or whatever. And I don't. I stay, you know, sometimes they go for a run, sometimes they just read for a little bit, and, you know, and I just have that time to myself. And I think that that's definitely one of the lessons. You know, I don't know that we've said it overtly, but that's one of the lessons that we learned. And so I would just, you know, like, just bring those sneakers and that sports bra, whatever, you need to do is to, what is it that, helps you find your balance when you're not traveling? You're going to need that when you are traveling, regardless of the kind of travel that you're doing.
Yeah,
another thing that we had talked about before the podcast here, we talked about when you are visiting relatives, when the travel is about visiting relatives, how that can sort of undermine the traveling experience. Do you want to talk a little bit about some of the things that work for you and your family when traveling to see relatives?
Well, it depends on which relatives we're going to see, of course. You know, one thing that has helped is, again, some of that planning ahead, preparedness, making sure they have plenty to entertain themselves, and sometimes putting a little call in, you know, to the grandparents and saying, like, can you move that really expensive vase that you have, you know, or just kind of letting them know, you know, what to expect, because, you know, Finn's in the knocking over everything and climbing on things phase. So that's one thing certainly to keep in mind. And also, you know, just kind of monitoring our own, you know, reactions to what's going on in the family situations, some can sometimes be stressful. So making sure that we're not, you know, losing our cool, so to speak, because of something unrelated, and letting that kind of trickle down to the kids.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that I was thinking about is when we travel to see family is, and we do it quite often, and they're pretty long car trips for us, about 6 hours to do that, is, you know, one is giving our this is kind of, I guess maybe they get it from me, making sure our kids still have, like, privacy or space to themselves, even though we're busy. So that they either, you know, like I'll take one of them for a walk, or my daughter will, you know, she's 13, she'll kind of hide out a little bit. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that that's important. But one of the things to also pay attention to is, where's your threshold, you know? So, like, where do you get to where you're like, this is enough time? And I think having my kids be a little bit older and having so many traveling experiences and staying with relatives is that we know that 4 days is our absolute limit. You know, it's like and I think, you know, part of it is how you do it, I guess. But for us, it winds up that we start feeling too intrusive and so out of our routine, and we know we're throwing them out of their routine. And so there's just a lot of tension that builds because of that. And so 4 days, you know, for us, is what seems to be the threshold. You know, and I think depending on the relationships in your family, it could be longer than that or shorter than that. I don't really have a prescription for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think paying attention, not just to, you know, your kids, but really to your own, you know, stress, because there are times where my kids will say, like, oh, I want to stay another day. And my husband and I are like, nope, we're done. because we know if we stayed another day, that it would be too much for us, and it would absolutely, you know, result in us maybe being more short with them or impatient. So I think that's an important component as well. I guess I'm looking at, you know, some of the, one of the other things I think is important when traveling with kids, and actually there's, I wanted to say this too, there's lots of good books on this already out there, but we kind of wanted to capitalize on what we're learning from the kids that we work with and our own kids. And one of the things that I've learned from the kids that I work with is oftentimes they, it's kind of confusing to them traveling. So, like, they'll come to a session and they'll either say, like, we're going someplace or we went someplace. And, you know, I would think it was exciting, but they didn't or don't. And I think that that's important. Like, what I learned from that as a parent in terms of how that influenced my parenting is that even though I may be really excited to go visit my sister, my kids might not be. Or even though I might be really excited that we're going to go to Florida in the middle of winter for 2 days and do nothing but sit by the pool or, you know, that might not be what my kids are interested in or what they feel excited about. And, you know, I think this goes back to, you know, really that, you know, being able to communicate well with your kids. And even your little ones, you know what does excite them and what is, like, fun to them, you know. So it's, you know, you might, they might not articulate it to you when you have really, really little ones. But that's, I mean, that's part of
the You know it when you see it, though.
Yeah, it's really
when they're having a good time.
And I think maybe making sure that's part of what's included so that travel does become, like, exciting and, like, feels like something they, you know, they want to do, especially if you enjoy it as a family.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, Jerry, this makes me think about a little bit like on a bigger scale. I mean, you know, why do we travel? Why do we go visit friends and family? And sometimes refocusing on that, you know, that sense of adventure and traveling and exploration and just experiencing something different and that, like, almost educational piece that has been, like, so important for me in my life. I really want to instill that love of adventure in my children. So, you know, sometimes when I'm getting, like, oh, you know, like, caught up in the minutia or the stress or the details, you know, just taking a step back and thinking about, you know, what do I really want my children to get out of this experience helps me, you know, through some of those more difficult moments. And, you know, same goes, I think, for visiting with friends and family. You know, why do we visit them? Because we want to, you know, create those memories, spend time together that we don't get to do because we don't live close by. Just enjoy, you know, either doing nothing or doing something fun or whatever it may be. So that to me, you know, is an important point as well.
Yeah, that opportunity. And, you know, I June Rickey, who's frequently a guest and on my show, she's often my sidekick. One of the things, and she has grown children and grandchildren, and we've talked about this before, and, you know, she says that really her kids' memories of traveling are their like, favorite memories. And one of the things that she told me, and I'm going to pass this on, I hope I'm, like, doing it justice, is that they made it a rule, like, that their kids were not bringing friends as they got older, because sometimes kids want to do that. They weren't bringing friends with them. But the reason was, it's because it really was a family vacation, you know, and it was their time to be set as a family. And I love that because one of the things I'm noticing as my kids get older is we do stuff with parts of our family. So, like, me and my daughter will go do this, you know, or my son and my husband will do this because my daughter's got, you know, a competition and she can't join us. And so I think that that really is an important aspect and could be, a valuable tip to parents is that, you know, is really think about how the having a friend there impacts, you know, like, everyone. And then, and on the sidebar, I'm just thinking of, you know, there we have a very close friend family, and they're all boys. I mean, and all the boys' friends are always over, and so it's just all boys, and they're all my daughter's age. So she's like, I love to go there, and this is really, you know, it's worth traveling to, but can I please bring a girl? Can I see another girl there besides the mom, you know? And so, again, you know, allowing for some, you know, flexibility, but that's not like a big family trip. That's just a day trip. So I think, you know, thinking about, like, what is it that you, you know, like you were saying, I want to instill that sense of adventure and discovery, you know, with my kids. So what is, if you're, when you're planning trips or when you have opportunities for trips, you know, what is it that you want to get out of it as a family becomes, I think, becomes an important question as well. You know, these are things that we, you know, hold on to. So,
yeah, it's definitely a good opportunity to reconnect as a family as well. You know, whereas that routine gets important, sometimes you don't always, you know, I think you can learn things about each other and again, like just reconnect on those when you travel as well.
Yeah, I one of the things that we do as a family, which my son is not a huge fan of because it must feel like homework to him, but the rest of us really enjoy it. And what we do is we have a family travel journal, and so you know, we bring it with us on our like more major trips, and we all write like kind of, you know, things that you know, things that happen, silly things that happen among us. Like I have trouble pronouncing the word ACORN, and the last trip that we went on, doesn't matter, 4 years of speech in elementary school, I still have trouble with that one. But the last trip that we went on, my kids were hysterical, laughing, like crying, no sound coming out, laughing, because they were trying to teach me how to say it correctly. So in the journal, there's, you know, several pages about just say ACORN, you know, like if they just So that doesn't matter where we were in the world. That was just like this really hilarious and, you know, great, great part of the trip. But that, I think, you know, is also kind of, you know, keeps us, like, I think that's something that keeps us connected as a family because we're all writing about it and we're all writing about, you know, different parts of the trip that are special to us. And then we have that, you know. So there's, I mean, there's, we could do it as a blog, we, you know, there's just, you could do it as, you know, like more photos.
Or drawing pictures for younger kids.
Drawing pictures. Yeah, I think there's just so many ways to commemorate that and really, you know, make it special. And special not just in the moment, but special, you know, period. So I think there's, you know, there's a lot of things that you can bring into it. Do you have any... even as a kid or now with your own children, do you have anything that really sticks out to you about the trips that made them special?
Oh, boy. That's a tall order. I have so many. so many, like, great memories. But I do, and I also do remember some of those stressful points, too, you know, where everybody's yelling at each other and, you know, I think that was more, you know, related to, I think, going to Disney when I was, like, 13. But,
I think,
go ahead.
we used to visit my grandma, and my grandma was actually in Florida, and that was always, like, I could smell my grandma's apartment before we got there. So it was, it's really special, and it doesn't matter that we didn't do much. It was, you know, who we were with, and that it was warm and the sun was out, you know. So I guess, I'll go back to it. I think that this is really the cornerstone for traveling blissfully with your children is, you know, is your mindset and just helping your children create a mindset about it to that. Positive. Jess, we have just a few seconds left. Anything else you would like to add before we say goodbye?
No, I enjoyed joining you, Jody. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I loved having you here. And my last word to parents would be, like, make travel less stressful, you know, for yourself, and make that the first priority, and then engage your children in it. And that also can be because the most important thing that you ever do for your kids is really create is model for them. And so they recognize that traveling is not part of the routine. So how do you show them how you deal with the instability that comes with traveling and still have opportunity to enjoy it? So if you're blissful, they'll be blissful, and they'll be
Yes. Usually
well-behaved too. So thank you very much for listening, and have a great day.